Boss man, what's good with you, brother?
What up? What up?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, bro. Manually. Wait, hold on. Hold on 1 second. Can you hear me, bro?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. But it's giving me as much to say my microphone is very quiet.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Alright, let's fire this bad boy up.
Are you gonna do the Skype recorder one?
Yeah. Okay. It was giving me a funky message saying that like something with my microphone. That's why I asked if you could hear me or not. 1 second. Okay, I'll just edit this part, first part and post. I think it's recording right now. Okay, cool. Alright, cool. 1 second. All right, boss, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. 1, 2, ready, go. Remember how hard this beat would go?
Mm-hmm.
You play this in somebody's car who had a real nice system, and that bass would hit. Oh yep. My god! Ooh, the first time I ever thrown this beat blew me away, bro. This was track one on the first disc. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was the first thing you got introduced to with this album. Oh my goodness! This is my I can let this ride, man. Woo! I think I'm gonna do that, boy! Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Microphone check, 1, 2. What it do? What the business is? Welcome to another edition of the MDX Podcast. I am your co-host, Mr. Maurice Prophet.
And I'm Danny Dang.
And yes, do not adjust your headphones. Do not adjust your volumes. Do not adjust your monitors. Do not adjust anything that's happening in your system. That is the great, the legendary, the icon, the GOAT, Mr. Tupac Shakur, playing in the intro, Ambitious as a Rider, from the All Eyes on Me, double disc, double platinum, I think triple platinum, matter of fact, album that dropped, when it dropped? It dropped in 96? Like, I think it dropped April 1st, 96, right? Some shit like that.
Let me check real quick.
But an absolute hip-hop classic. And this is a very special edition of the MDX Podcast that we are bringing to you on a Sunday morning. We haven't done one of these in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the Sunday morning ones, man. It's like, it feels so, like, fresh waking up and doing a podcast. I feel like I'm doing, like, a real radio show.
It came out February 13, 1996.
February 13th, same thing. Close enough. There's a few weeks in between there or whatever. But yeah, February 13th,
96. Yeah.
Oh, the day before Valentine's Day. Look at that. That was a perfect Valentine's Day gift for your boo thang back then. Yeah, we've been off for a couple of weeks, just kinda like doing our own thing, chilling and whatnot. Bringing things up to speed. Looks like the Golden State Warriors, they won the championship.
They did.
Yeah,
they did. My prediction was wrong.
Yeah, my prediction was dead wrong. I had Cavs in 7.
I had Cavs in 6.
You had Cavs in 6. We were way off. off, man. I don't know, man. It was like, you know, they were games one and two. Cleveland was just so damn quiet, and game three when they brought it back home, they looked like they had a shot to actually, like, you know, to make it a 2-1 series, and they dropped that last they dropped that game, you know, in the last few seconds when KD hit that three. Cavs got the win in game four, but game five they brought back to Oakland and Golden State closed it out.
Yeah, KD was the factor, obviously, in all of it. I think he was just so hungry for it.
Yeah.
And hey, they proved it. They got it.
Man, I cannot remember a series when I've seen Kevin Durant just be like that, like just that on point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's always been a damn good player and everything. You know, like, you know, he's always been like, you know, he's always been a leader and whatnot. But like, it was like. It was like he got the damn Mario flower and was invincible the entire series. You know, he was just making these ridiculous shots, and I was like, dog. Like he really was like on Kobe sniper mode. That's what I saw. Like, I saw a completely different Kevin Durant than I've ever seen before.
Right, and then it's not even like Steph or Klay were making that much noise either.
Right. Right.
In the whole series. I mean, they were there, but they weren't doing what they normally would do.
Yeah, like...
It literally was KD the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. And that was what, I guess, like, that was the factor I didn't really take into consideration while I was making my prediction, was the amount of hunger that he was going to have in him. I was thinking in my head, just like... Because LeBron, to me, is just such a dominant player.
Right.
That when what I saw last year... in him in the finals, I can't think of another player who's ever been like that much of a beast on so many different ends, and so I was like, this is gonna be the exact same dance, you know. LeBron's gonna take over, Kyrie's gonna be his go to and everything. It looked like the same script was happening from last year with J.R. Smith, especially because, remember, last year J.R. Smith was very quiet for the first couple of games, but then, you know, he started sniping, you know, mm-hmm. after like game three or four last year. So I'm thinking, okay, same thing with J.R. Smith. He's gonna wake up and he's gonna be like that contributing factor as well too. And then, like we said in the last episode, Tristan Thompson was trash bags.
Yep.
He was trash bags. You know what I mean? And, you know, he did nothing in the finals. Not a goddamn thing. So that didn't help them at all. But then, like what you said, you know, with Golden State, even with Klay and Steph not playing at the top level that we have been accustomed to seeing, it was still enough, though. It was still enough to be a factor. Same thing with Andre Iguodala, you know what I mean? So, I mean, and even Draymond Green, obviously, like, you know, and Draymond, you know, he stayed within, he controlled himself a lot better. There was a very noticeable maturity arc that occurred with him, since last year. And that really played a major factor, you know, making sure that you weren't going to be a distraction, that you focus on the game, and they all came together and they fucking formed Voltron, man, and got that ship.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, yes. So I mean, so it's gonna be interesting to see what happens like during the off season right now. We got the draft coming up this Thursday. Dawg, you see that? You see the deal that's going down right now?
Which one?
With Philly and Boston.
Oh yeah, I saw a little bit about it.
Dude, so it looks like Philly about to get that number one pick that Boston has again, that Boston has this year, and correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like they'll have the number one pick next year as well too, and plus a third round in 3rd pick in 2019.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Wow. So they about to get that one cat. Not Lonzo Ball, but the other brother, Moonbark or some shit. I can't remember his name. But the one who's projected to be going number one. Look like he probably gonna be going to Philly. And possibly I still think Ball's going to LA.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I think all the hot air, I think we're just getting a lot of hot air from like all the blogs saying that LA wasn't really that impressed and they may not pick him. I think this is a lot of hot air, just kind of keep things at bay, so this way, like, it won't be as obvious. But I think it will happen though. I think, because LA is the kind of market where they make moves like that to be able to, like, generate a lot of buzz, get a lot of attention. They want to, from a business standpoint too as well. If you're in the LA front off, if you're the Lakers front office, you're thinking to yourselves, we want to use this as a great opportunity to, like, really create a lot of, like, significant buzz and hype and excitement for the 2017-2018 season. So to really ensure, and I know, like, the Staples Center always has, they never have any problems getting people to buy Laker tickets, but to really, like, regenerate that excitement for a Lakers game, whom better else to do that than with, like, the freaking grand wizard of marketing, and that's with the Ball family, especially with LeVar Ball being at the helm of his son. So I can see them picking him up. That'll be a major sales coup when it comes to, like, pushing tickets and everything, because people are gonna be, they're gonna want to see what happens in that first game on the opening night when they open up the Staples Center. So they're gonna see what happens with him. So people are gonna want to be there. It'll be a big thing. And if he pans out to be a stellar player that he's projected to be, this will be the resurgence of the LA Lakers then. So, we'll see about that. But yeah, let's get to it. We opened the show up with the GOAT for a reason, and that is because the new movie, the new film, All Eyes on Me, the Tupac biopic, was released this weekend. Was released on his birthday, June 16th, 1971. Mama gave birth to a hell-raising heavenly son, and it was released on Friday, so I saw it Friday night. Denny, you saw it yesterday, right? Awesome, awesome, awesome. And yeah, we're gonna kind of go into it. The movie, I was not prepared for the movie being as long as it was, damn near 2.5 hours. I was just not ready for that. I was thinking it was gonna be probably like a 90 to 100 minute movie, but nah, it was a little bit longer than that. And it went into it. Oh, by the way, this movie was directed by Benny Boom. Benny Boom, he's known for doing a lot of music videos that you have seen. He did, like, One Mike, Uchiwali. He did, I'm just trying to think of some other ones that he did. Those are the ones that, oh, he did that one video with Kelly Rowland and Nelly.
Dilemma.
Thank you for saying the title, because I was about to go sing it, and it was going to be horrible.
P.S. Spoiler alert. So if you don't know the Tupac story, then first of all, get under the rock that you live from, get out of it. And yeah, we're just going to talk about the movie. If you don't like it, turn us off. And if not, I really don't care what you want to do.
And even, like, for those who do know the Tupac story pretty well and have not seen the movie, it's gonna be a lot of stuff that you're already privy to. So,
Well, because there was a lot of hate towards the movie already.
oh my God, dude, right? Let's talk about that.
Because
So,
here's the thing. Here's
yeah,
the thing.
go ahead.
A lot of people may or may not know, but I'm not the biggest Tupac fan. You know, growing up in the East Coast, like, I listened to Biggie growing up. You know, so Tupac wasn't, I mean, Tupac was there and he was relevant, obviously, but, like, they didn't really, I mean, that wasn't the focus for me growing up. So it was kind of like the whole, like, Ken Griffey Jr. thing. Like, I didn't grow up on the West Coast, so I didn't really watch Ken Griffey Jr. growing up as a kid. You know, I grew up watching Cal Ripken Jr. So for me, like, I like Tupac, but I don't consider him. I consider him one of the best, yes, but Biggie is above him to me. You know,
That's
so
why I
I
was
go.
purposely saying goat, because I wanted to
Right,
smush it in your
right,
face.
right. I'm fully aware of this, but yeah, I mean. Lots of hatred towards the movie. Okay, so first of all, any movie that I go see, I never listen to what the critics say.
Smart.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Because the thing is critics, they look for, I mean, critics, I feel like they're only looking for like that Oscar winning movie that, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's what they're trained for.
Yeah.
And you can look at it, critics of movies, music, even food, you know what I mean? Cause, and everything is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, there's movies out there that won hella awards and this and that, and I've seen them. I'm like, this is a terrible movie.
Yeah.
You know, or you could go, you know, eat somewhere that's going to cost you $300 a person, and it's not as good as going down the block around the corner to the chicken joint that's going to cost you $6.95 for a, you know, a chicken special.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And so it's yeah. Right. So I feel like it's one of those things, right? So obviously, this movie wasn't going to be, you know, like Oscar award winning, you know, La La Land status type of stuff. But so you got to keep that in mind. I mean, I saw a lot of people saying, well, the reviews are terrible. The reviews are terrible. Well, of course, the reviews are going to be terrible. Like these people that are critiquing the movie, they're looking for acting skills. They're looking for this, for that. Like it's a biopic of a rapper's life who's most of his life was spent in jail. You know, like how good of a movie, good quote unquote of a movie, you know, do you think these critics are going to go after?
Right.
You know, for us as fans of the music, of the genre, of the culture, like we get a look into things that we didn't get a look into. You know what I mean? Like we get to see a different side of it. Like the way they portrayed, like Suge Knight, I know like people don't like him and stuff like that. Like the way they portrayed him in that, I'm like, that dude was like super shiesty. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he had it out for everyone, I feel like. And you know, he's a smooth talker. Like, let me get you in this and that. Right. And then it's like the moment you make a mistake, like it's on. Like he almost ran it like cartel style. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Death Row was ran like a, you know, like a drug cartel. Yeah.
So like a damn mob, right?
Like that scene where they're all sitting eating dinner, and he's like, "Oh, you know, you like good food. You like, you know, you've been stealing, blah blah blah, and all this stuff." And then it's like, you know, they damn near killed this guy with mashed potatoes
and shrimp.
Yeah, and champagne.
And champagne, right?
You know, all these things that people love in life, and like this dude's just getting shoved down his throat. Like, that's not that dope. But like things like that, you know what I mean? And then so like we get a look into that. Now, granted, the accuracy of it is, you know, beyond us. We don't know what it's like. Mm-hmm. But from most of the movies and everything that they do and Suge Knight's portrayal, like, yeah, the dude was kind of a dick. Mm-hmm. The other thing is the whole let's talk about the Jada Pinkett thing.
Yeah, I think she was way too rough on it. Jada Pinkett said,
I didn't read what she wrote. I just saw that she was upset with it.
Yeah, paraphrasing what she wrote on Twitter, she wrote a pretty long tweet. I think it was like Thursday night or Friday morning, one of the two. But it basically was she was saying that her portrayal in the film does not accurately represent the relationship that she actually had with Tupac in real life. The scene where he reads her the poem, because there's a scene where a young Tupac reads Jada Pinkett a poem before he leaves off to move to California. She said that never happened. The scene where she sees him after his performance, you know, and when he's on Death Row, when she sees him in the backstage and talks to him, she said that never happened as well too. But here's my so she was just very she said no shade towards the actors because they did a good job, but you did a good job with the material that you were handed, and so her issue was the levels of inaccuracy with her character. Here's my thing though, right? I think she was being very rough on it because it wasn't like she was being portrayed as like a slut or someone who's her and Pac had a sexual relationship, you know, on and off and everything, you know, through their lives. She was portrayed in the movie as his moral compass, you know, his really his moral guide to bring him back on speed, on track of like of him making sure that he's in contact with who he truly is as a person. The scene that I was just speaking about right now about the post show when she visits him in the dressing room, it's been some years since she's seen him. He was on death row. He's got done, you know, killing the House of Blues set. He's in the back, you know, with a bunch of chicks. They got liquor, they got weed, you know, they all partying, and he back there just wilding out. And she comes to him and she's like, "Listen, you know, I'm here to see you." And he's like, "You know, don't you see what I made it? You know, like, really very much like, you know, boasting up and pontificating on the fact that he now has made it and he's hard. He's got all these thugs around him and whatnot." And she's like reminding him, "This is not who you are, though. You know the man that you are. I know the man that you are, but none of this is you." And it really made it was kind of like a moment of clarity for Tupac. Now, I get it. Maybe that did not happen in real life, but from a story aspect, though, I get why that probably was needed, though, like mm-hmm. in terms of like just bringing a story together. Sometimes you kind of need that type of turnaround for a character, like that type of motivation for a character to have a significant turnaround. And Jada was really the vehicle of being his moral compass in the film, the way how you see it, you know, the way how it was when they were younger, the way how it was when they reconnected on the set of A Different World, and even with that scene as well, too. So I'm like, after I saw the movie, I'm thinking like, Jada, you went in, but you went in for the wrong reasons, I feel, though. Like, you could have just, like, you know, kind of let the light, like, that's not what happened. However, I do appreciate what they did with my character. I didn't look like no hoe. I didn't look like I was a troubled woman. I didn't look like I had anger. I didn't look like I was a deterrent. But instead, she looked like she was damn there like the main protagonist of the film. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, why are you mad?
I know, and she was in the movie for, like, what, 5 minutes tops?
Well, but, like, right, like, she was in the movie for, like, four scenes. Like, her character was in the movie for, like, four scenes. But all four of those scenes were very pertinent. And they really mattered a lot. Like, they really were important scenes. And, but her portrayal wasn't negative, though. And so mm-hmm. that's why I'm just like, maybe you're just being a little too artistic because you want the authenticity to be as on point as possible, but I'm looking at like, but you were used as a very constructive vehicle for Tupac in the film. So why are you mad, bro?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's where I was kind of lost with. And then I got to thinking like, you know, I like Jada and Will Smith. I like that whole family. I like Willow. I like Jada a whole lot. I like that whole family. But sometimes they be a little extra with shit, though. Sometimes they do be a little extra, you know, with shit. So, and Jada, she sometimes has to, like, you know, reel it back a little bit as well, too. So I thought this was like a great opportunity for her to really, like, you know, get a lot of buzz, you know, put some respect on my name. Put some buzz on her name, you know, for the weekend. She's been trending. Everyone's been talking about what she said, her comments was. It was an opportune moment, and I think she took advantage of it.
Yeah, got you.
That's just me, though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In terms of the overall film, so, yeah, like I said, I think that criticism was a bit much. I think the criticism overall, though, was really over the top, as far as like, all the negativity. I think it really was over the top. I think it was like, you know, people went into this, walked into this movie. I think they walked into this movie with these grand expectations because we were spoiled with Straight Outta Compton.
Mm-hmm.
Straight Outta Compton was so damn good, and the studio did it right. But also at the same time, though, Shirai Compton went through a studio that does these types of, they do a great job with these types of music biopics. So they know how to portray a music biopic the right way. Whereas with All Eyes on Me went through Morgan Creek, and that more so, that studio more so focuses like, you know, kind of like more like slower paced dramas. You know what I mean? You know, like they focus more so on like the more of the psychoanalytical type of films that you'll see, like, you know, that have to deal with like, you know, more of a character study, more introspective. So I think that when you have a studio that focuses more so on that stuff, but you incorporate a music biopic, it doesn't really translate too well on the big screen. And that was just one of my beats, was that I felt that this movie would have been absolutely stellar on a small screen, on BET, on VH1, even on Netflix. But you know what I'm saying? So I really think it would have been made a greater impact had this been on BET. If this were on BET, it could have been a two night special. You know, they could have done half the movie where, you know, that leads up to when he gets bailed out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the second day could have been all of, you know, all the whole death row story. And in addition, they could have added on more, and I'm gonna get to that in a second. If it were on BET, it would have had a lot of it would have great sponsors. Like you could have McDonald's in the mix, you could have Sprite in the mix, you could have Nike in the mix, you know what I mean? So you could have like some really good sponsors as well, just to like, you know, kind of add to your revenue and everything. And the ratings would have been nasty. The New Edition ratings were ridiculous when the New Edition movie came out. So think about if the Tupac movie were on BET this week, how the ratings would have looked. The ratings would have been really, really strong. So it would have been another good look for them and everything, and a pretty big win. But I think that the movie really did translate a lot better on the smaller screen in terms of the production quality. Because when I was watching it in the theater, I was like, this really needs to be on TV. This is not big enough to be on the big screen. But I ain't mad, though. I ain't mad. Because I still feel, for what it was, though, it still was enjoyable. Like, it really was very nostalgic. I really enjoyed the fact that I was sitting in a theater full of people and we were all rapping songs together in unison. Like, that was just cool as hell. We were all in there in the theater. I don't know how many people were in there or whatever like that, like, you know, numbers wise, but we're all in there, packed theater, singing Hit 'Em Up together, singing Hail Mary together, singing Ambitious as a Rider together. You know, that was just like fun. That was just so damn fun, you know. And so I can just imagine like that prop, that vibe, or that type of environment, that type of like, you know, like commonality was happening all over the country. So that, you know, that gave everyone going to see the movie in the theater a very memorable experience, that, you know, to experience together as one, being Tupac fans. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think the criticisms, you know, like, really did, like, they did not reflect what the movie represented, because I think that they went in wanting, like I said, they wanted the quality of Straight Outta Compton. They didn't get it. So it was like, okay, well, let me just nitpick. Because if you went to this movie looking for what was wrong, you were definitely going to find it. You were going to find, yes, you will find bad acting. Yes, you will find some low quality stuff. Yes, you will find some pretty bad angles. Or maybe, yes, if you are a hardcore Tupac fan going into this with negativity, yes, you will find some inconsistencies or some missing information. But if you went into it as someone who just wants to just enjoy a movie about their favorite rapper, then you're gonna enjoy it, though. You're gonna enjoy it for what it is. And I think that's the move to really make going into this film. Now, going back to what I said a second ago about, like, you know, the things that should have been added, I get why they didn't have this, because, you know, they probably were running out of time, because, you know, we're 2 hours and 20 minutes into it already. But the backside of him getting shot in Vegas, because that's a lot of story about what happened that last week of his life.
Mm-hmm.
That last week, there was a lot that happened that last week of his life, because, so after he got shot, I'm like, okay, now we're going to the whole, the final 6-7 days of his life. because of all what happened. They ain't go into all the people that gathered at the hospital and that, like, they were camped out every day, all day. Everyone out there with signs, pictures, flowers, everyone, you know, with their boom boxes, singing, you know, praying, candles, hoping that Tupac would be okay in the hospital that they're all camped out at. And the crowds every day grew bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, of all the fans who were outside the hospital. And I think the most important part of what happened during that that span of time, during those 6 to 7 days, on day 4, Tupac opened his eyes. He opened his eyes, and he held I can't remember if it was his mother his girl. Oh shit, Kidada Jones, Kidada's hand. But he held he squeezed her hand. Tupac showed life after a few days, and I remember this because even in 1996, as hard as this was, and as hard as it is to believe, I was actually following what was happening with him. But remember, back then, the only way you could follow any sort of breaking news with hip-hop was you had to watch MTV News. So I had MTV News, I was glued to it, you know, every day to see, like, you know, what was happening with him. You know, what was the new thing? What was the new update and everything? I was watching it every day. I was waiting for Kurt Loder and Tabitha Soren to tell us, okay, here's a new update on Tupac. But on day 4, he opened his eyes. But you know, as we saw on day on September 13th, he passed away at 4:03 p.m. It was a Friday afternoon. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, there's that, and then there's the reception. The reaction and the homegoing of Tupac after he died as well too. And then they could have had an epilogue. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, there was a lot more story that could have been incorporated that showed how it was, because we didn't see in the movie, you know, what his mother's reaction was like, what his sister's reaction was like. We didn't see what all rappers were saying across the country about Pac's shooting and death and everything. We didn't see, like, you know, what was going on with other fans as well too, or what the reaction was like, or even what happened with Suge as well too. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there was a lot of story. So if had been on BET on a 2-night special, then, you know, that it would have done that justice.
Right, because in Notorious, they did that.
Right.
You know, in Notorious, when it ended, they did the whole, they had the whole funeral thing. Yeah. They showed his, like, procession going through Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Now, granted, Tupac didn't have, because he was cremated, right?
I don't know.
I think he was cremated. So he didn't have, like, all of, like, what Biggie had, which would have been pretty cool if he did. But there still was a lot, because there still was a lot that happened that took place nationwide, you know, to celebrate Pac's life. Even the very famous mural, graffiti mural that's in L.A., I think, that says "Live by the Gun, Die by the Gun." You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Even that, because that popped up, and I mean, you know, you saw, like, when that was made, all, like, the flowers, the candles, and everything, like, you know, were around it. I mean, that was a beast back then when that first popped up and whatnot. And I don't know. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it could there could have been a lot more done, you know, with all that. But, you know, for what they were given, it is what it is, and everything. Snoop.
They should have. Okay, so here's my thing. Like, they got the dude from Notorious to play Biggie. Why wouldn't they just get that Snoop?
Yeah, the Snoop who played Snoop in Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah. No. That played. Well, they could have got that one too. They had so many options of people that they could have brought in.
Wait, who? Oh shoot, I can't remember who played Snoop in Notorious. Did he look like Snoop in Notorious?
I think so.
Dude, here's my question though, right? here's my question, because myself, along with damn near everyone else in the theater, we cracked up. Because you see homie, right? And you hear his voice. And I'm like, dog, did they have Snoop, like actual Calvin Broadus, Snoop Dogg in real life, record his lines like in like a separate studio, and they just dubbed it over this dude's voice when he's talking? Cause you notice you never really saw his face when Snoop was talking, like actual speaking. You would see like the back of his head, the side of his head, or he'd be off screen when he spoke. But you would see him. But you'd never really see him saying the words that were coming out of his mouth. So that's why I'm just like, because the voice is literally identical to Snoop Dogg. So I'm like, did they just dub Snoop's real voice and say have him say these words, and they just use Old Boy as kind of like a little proxy? Because that looked funny as hell, bro.
I really like the guy that played Shock G.
Hey, you want to talk about the accuracy with Tupac? How accurate was that motherfucker?
Yeah, that dude was that he was really accurate.
holy shit, looked like him, the manners, sound, talk, spoke like him. Yeah, they nailed it with that one. They definitely nailed it with the Shock G character.
That dude was hilarious.
Yes, and even and e okay, and that and that's oh yeah, that's another thing I want to talk about. With Suge Knight, played by a brother named Dominic Santana. So obviously, he this is the same brother who did Suge Knight in Straight Outta Compton, right? I
Was
believe,
it?
I think so.
I don't think it was.
Hold up, I'm on IMDb right
It's
now.
not. It's not. He's not.
Oh, it's not?
No, they look different.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's not. Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. My bad. Well, but with this brother though, he well, okay, what I really liked about this was the fact that if you were following what was happening back then, like when Tupac was alive, with Death Row and everything, you were always very privy to the antics of Suge. But you were privy to it via like the Vibe magazine, Source magazine, those type of things. But you only got like so much information because so much of what was happening with Death Row was so inside. I feel like it hasn't been until recent where these like stories really have come out about what the environment truly was like in there. You know what I mean? I remember when I was in high school, I like Suge Knight a lot. Like he was someone like I looked up to because I liked his business practices. This and granted, this is me not knowing about his business practices. This is only me being a fan of Death Row Records. And I have a I had a friend, and I'm still and we're still friends. His name is Eric Johnson. Eric's sister, this is back then. I can't remember what she was doing, but she was on some type of like movie set somewhere. I'm not sure if she was like work, like she had like a part-time gig or something like that with the movie set. It was something. But Suge Knight was there at the movie set. And he this way and he told me that he was like, what was it like seeing Suge or whatever? And she's like, Eric, that man is the devil. He is really the devil in real life. I don't know how people could be around him. 'Cause he is the devil. So when he told me that, I was like, man, shut up, bro. Whatever, man. She's probably a Biggie and Puff fan. Whatever, bro. I'm not trying to hear that shit. You know what I'm saying? And but that always kind of stood with me though. But now the even like with the combination of the information that we knew about the reputation of Death Row, and now seeing what we saw in the Pac movie about what the environment was like, because I believe what the information we got was authentic, because Benny Boom and the producer crap, who produced it? You know who produced it? with like LT Hutton, I believe it is. They worked, you know, they worked with Death Row. They were there around when all this was happening and whatnot. So, we were getting accurate information. But now, with everything that we have, we now got a visual of what was of what it was like in there, and everything now is like really coming together of how bad that environment really was. And seeing like when you brought up the dinner scene, especially that rung heavy with me, because I'm just like, I wouldn't put it past that this was the reality, that this was what they were getting. And with that being said, these motherfuckers were in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? These motherfuckers had to have been in fear. It makes you think about, like, this is why Dr. Dre was so adamant about leaving Death Row.
Right.
You know, this is why Snoop was so adamant about leaving Death Row. Because
even Pac wanted to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You saw what Pac said in the movie. He was like, I signed on for 3 albums. All eyes on me is two albums. Machiavelli's 1 album. I'm out.
Right. And then you saw how Suge kind of reversed it. He goes, yeah, contractually, you're all straight. But then he pulled that little book out and was like, you know, and he was like, but how are we going to make up for all this money, you know? I think he seems like the kind of person that would just come out and just like, because, I mean, I can understand where he comes from like a business standpoint, right? Because, yeah, you've made all this money, but he put all this money into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get that. You're trying to break even. You know, in the best case scenario, you want to break even. I get it.
Right.
Well, but
shit, worst case scenario.
Right. But I
profit. Right. Yeah.
But I feel like for him, he just had this like, nah, like you kind of like I was saying earlier, like cartel style. Like, no, you're in this. You're in this for life. Like.
Right.
And then when Pac was like, you know, I think I'm just gonna go do my own thing, and then he created, you know,
Death Row East.
It was just a way to like keep him there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, to say no. Like, no, you work for, but he has to have his hand in everything. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Absolutely. And that was another way to really show like what type of control they had on him, and to acknowledge the fact that Pac is a money making machine. You know what I mean? Because you saw how successful Me Against the World was, Tricky for My Niggas was. Like, you saw how successful these albums were, and how ridiculously successful All Eyes on Me was. Mm-hmm. So he was like, Pac freaking makes money. He makes me a lot of money. I'm not gonna let him go. Shit.
Right.
You know, I know contractually he's straight, but when he pulled out that ledger,
yeah. And all the things that were on there, it wasn't even like, you know, studio this.
Yeah.
It was like Rolls Royce,
yeah,
this, that.
Rolex,
it was like all these
house,
little things, you know, all these little things,
yeah,
that he was probably like, no, I got you.
Right. And that, exactly. And that was the thing. Do you remember all that shit?
You need anything, I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time.
And remember back then too, like there was a lot of buzz going around that Pac wasn't really getting cash, you know, like to be paid. He, like you said, anything he needed, Suge would get him. He got him the house, he got him the car, he got him the clothes. So he would get that, but then right, exactly. You see that ledger, all that was itemized on there.
Who was itemized. Who is Nigel? Is he a real person? Or was he just a character placed in there?
So that was
Or is he like a likeliness of someone?
Yeah, because that really was supposed to be Haitian Jack. And because when they show him at the club at first, I'm like, oh, that's gotta be Haitian Jack. But then they called him Nigel, and I was like, oh. But then like when the story, like when everything came together, I'm like, that really was Haitian Jack. Haitian Jack was a goon that was very like, you know, deep in hip hop. Like he was he knew all the rappers. He would like be at all the spots and everything like that. He would, but he did a lot of dirty shit though. you know, he was involved with, like, a lot of, like, you know, like, with gang shit, with a lot of, like, you know, with a lot of, like, drug stuff and everything. But he would, like, you know, kind of, like, you know, he would take care of rappers, like, financially or, like, whatever they need and everything like that. And, but he was involved with some real crusty shit. So, Pac and Haitian Jack, they were, like, you know, they were working together. Like, they were together, like you saw in the movie. Like, they, you know, like, he would come to the sets, the movie sets. They'd be at parties. They, like, they were always together a lot. And the rumor was that, because Haitian Jack was also, and this is where Bad Boy gets tied in with why Pac got shot. Haitian Jack was also, had a working relationship with Bad Boy Entertainment as well, too. But the night when... But the thing is that, like, the night he got, when Pac got shot, that made Pac kind of, like, you know, wonder, like, that's what really, like, you know, made, like, him wonder, like, you know, how closely tied Bad Boy was to his shooting, because Haitian Jack obviously set him up to be shot, and he's working with Bad Boy. And, like, you know, when he got to the upstairs of the recording studio, Pac felt that Bad Boy wasn't doing enough to help him. Like, the people from Bad Boy weren't doing enough. So he felt that they were all tied in together. Jimmy Henchman was actually the one who, and they never mentioned his name in the film, but he was the one who actually did shoot, who did shoot Tupac. When you listen to and Jimmy Henchman, he was like the number one go-to for Haitian Jack, who Nigel played. So, if you listen to Against All Odds, if you listen to that song, it's a very last song on the Machiavelli album. If you listen to the second verse of that song, it tells the entire story of Haitian Jack, of Jimmy Henchman, of King Tut. It tells the entire story of who Jack was, what he was all about, and how they set him up to be shot and killed that night. And also remember the part when they were, like, after that whole rape case happened, and they were Nigel's gonna have a separate trial.
Yeah.
Pac says that he was working for the feds. And because he was working for the feds, that's why he was able to get his own separate trial. So he was going to be taken care of. And that's why they were like, why is he in his own separate trial? And Pac was always like, because he's working for the feds. And the entire thing was a whole setup, you know, for him to be set up by that girl. So, you know, like, it all kind of, like, you know, really comes together. I'm telling you, if you listen to that song, the entire second verse is all about Haitian Jack and that whole situation and how much, you know, he really fucked Pac over. It's really crazy, man. It's really crazy. But I thought it was interesting. Yeah, I thought that was interesting as well, too. Like, I was sitting there, like, confused. Like, why are they calling him Nigel? And I guess... Yeah. But at the same time, though, but it was weird because, like, the actor... Because I was listening to, GCI... That's a radio station out here, and they were interviewing some of the cast members of the movie, and the guy who played Jack, who plays Nigel, actually, like, you know, like, had conversations with Haitian Jack to understand the story and the character and everything. So that's why I was just kind of confused, like, why couldn't they use his name? Maybe because, like, legally legally they couldn't use his name, so they had to change it up. But it was kind of odd to me, though.
Yeah,
but you know, check that out, though. But that's all in there.
Did you notice Mano in the movie?
Yeah. I was.
I saw him. I was like, why does that look like Mano?
I was like, oh, okay.
I was like, yep, that's Mano. Especially after the recording studio shooting, I was just like, that is, dude, he's all up in the camera.
I was
like, that's totally Mano. What are you doing, bro?
I heard that he was gonna be in the movie, so as soon as I saw him, I was like, wow. Fucking Mano, man. He would be this motherfucker too, also.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes all sense and shit. Like, this nigga would be up there. But yeah, so it was that, and another thing too, Okay, so here's my question, though, right?
What's up?
I guess, like, what I'm kind of having some problems chewing on, the part when he was in prison.
Okay. What, getting interviewed by that dude?
No.
Or just in general?
Just in general. When he was in prison, he was on the courtyard.
They had that
radio outside, and they started playing Who Shot Ya, right?
Yep.
And then that's when Pac was kind of like putting things together via the lyrics and like what and how Biggie was on the rise and whatnot. How did he know what Pac was thinking at that moment? You know what I'm saying? Because like I guess I look at it like here is some old dude who's probably in the 60s in prison.
Nice mustache too. Did you see that dude's mustache?
Oh, I went looking at that. Oh,
it was like way too perfect for jail.
Oh. Right. he got that fresh lineup, you know, in prison.
Tupac's hair got to look good.
Right. How did this old dude know, like? Just like how was he able to connect all that at that moment so quick? Because to me, an old man in prison don't know shit about no hip hop, don't know shit about no potential beef, don't know shit about analyzing lyrics the very first time you hear it. You know what I mean?
I'm assuming he knows. Because he's old school, right? He's in jail, obviously. And all the things that he was saying, like, don't let what you would do in 50 seconds get you 50 years type of thing. I think he just knew the lifestyle and what was next, I feel like, if that makes sense. So it's like, yo, we get it. Like, you're a rapper and, like, you're from the streets. And so you're... You know, and just the way that Tupac is, right? I mean, he saw it's two white dudes beating up a black dude, and he just went and shot people. Mm-hmm. You know, now whether or not that was a real thing or not, but it's that was his mentality, right? Because during the whole movie, it was just and especially with Suge Knight too. Like, if someone does something, I'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. Right, and so maybe that's what he was thinking. He was thinking, you know, like. Tupac's not, he's probably not going to be in here for a while, but, you know, he's got this beef that could be brewing, you know, someone's saying something about him, you know, on record, and maybe he was trying to allude to, maybe do it on record, don't take it into your own hands type of thing.
Word, okay.
You know, maybe something like that, because it's like, because that really is, I mean, if you have a gun to someone, you know, that's 50 seconds that's going to get you life probably.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe that's what he was alluding to.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I saw it was kind of interesting when I was like, okay, how did he know what Pac was thinking? You know, but I mean, I'll let it slide. You know, I'm not going to like, you know, I'm not going to like harp on that a whole lot.
Because that dude did stab that one guy too later.
That was crazy.
You know, and it was over something really stupid, right? Yeah. So maybe it was like a, maybe that was also an example of, A, like, this is for real. Like, I'm letting you know, like, I have nothing else to live for, so I'll just do it. But maybe he's like, oh, you're young. You know, you still have, you know, potential or whatever.
Right. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, and that's true. That was a good way of, like, you know, visually showing that, you know, you're right. Pac had a lot more to live for. There is more to this. And I think that's what it was shortly after that. That's when he was very more, he was much more motivated to get out. And that's when he called Suge.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, get me the hell out of here, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing, too, I kind of wish that they developed more of the, like, I guess the internal issue that he was, the internal struggle that he was dealing with Bad Boy. I think that they touched it on the surface, and they referred back to it when it was convenient. But I don't think that there was, like, for someone who just did not know, like, for some, maybe like a new school fan or whatever, for someone who did not know, I don't think it did enough in terms of, like, really showcasing why, like why he had so much animosity towards Bad Boy, Puff, and Biggie. Yeah, granted, they did have that, they did show that scene, like, you know, when he heard Who Shot You and everything, but I felt like they didn't really go back to it until much later, when they show Faith, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I kind of wish that they went more into that, because that was a very momentous moment as well too back then, like, you know, just seeing, like, you know, how that whole thing between Pac and Biggie developed and all, and how that kind of spawned an East Coast West Coast battle as well. So I kind of wish that they went more into that, but
we just need a Death Row versus Bad Boy movie.
I did hear that they did say on the Breakfast Club that they were making an all Death Row movie.
An all Death Row movie?
Yeah.
And that could be interesting.
Yeah, that could be crazy. And I hope that they do that. They need to do it the right way. They need to do it with the brother who played Dre from Straight Outta Compton. They need to do it with Demetrius Shipp, who played Tupac in this movie. What did you think about this Shug versus Straight Outta Compton Shug? Like, who did you prefer?
I prefer the one from All Eyes on Me.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
So if Shug was really that way in real life, then yes, the guy that played him in All Eyes on Me did an amazing job.
Hell yeah.
Because I feel like the one from Straight Outta Compton was, like, soft.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he almost just looked like a big teddy bear.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just looked too nice.
Yeah.
Even in the one scene where he, like, beat up the one dude, the valet guy or whatever.
Right.
Even that scene wasn't as believable.
Yeah.
Whereas all the scenes in All Eyes on Me were like, all right, like, this dude is kind of legitimately crazy.
Yeah.
And you know.
And you're like, you were low-key scared watching it.
Yeah, you could say I was uncomfortable at times. Because I honestly thought he was going to kill that dude at the dinner table.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's just like that one scene where they're walking through the recording studio, and then he was like, oh, I got something to show you. And then he just pushes that dude into the room, and then they all jumped him.
That was nuts.
And I honestly thought that was going to happen to Pac eventually. Right. You know, especially when it was like, hey, I got something to show you. I was like, dude, he's going to beat him up.
In the, like, same room, too, stuff. Right.
And then I was like, oh, no. But then, you know, he showed him the the Death Row East stuff. So I was like, all right. But, like, you know, the whole time the one that was in the guy that played him in All Eyes on Me, he was such a loose cannon, I feel like. Really unpredictable. You didn't know what his next moves were. You didn't know what he was thinking, you know. And like I said, if that's a portrayal of Shug, then they should use him as opposed to the dude in Straight Outta Compton.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm totally co-signing. And that's the thing, too, is that, like, with this guy who played Shug in All Eyes on Me, he fit the stature a lot better too as well. Like, he, like, Shug, yeah, we've always known Shug to be a really big man, but yeah, under all that red, Shug was just, like, was solid. That motherfucker was jacked. He was just all muscle, you know, like, he was just a one big bulky muscular motherfucker, and that's what old boy, you know, really does portray in All Eyes on Me as well, like, who played Shug. You could tell he's a big guy, but he's a big, muscular motherfucker. And so, like, that just, like, I think that will be a much better fit. So I hope they bring him back for the Death Row movie. Put out some more coins to get Lakeith Stanfield back to play Snoop, you know, the one who played Snoop in Straight Outta Compton. So I thought, out of all the Snoops we've seen, he's been the best one. And yeah, like, you know, just develop from there and everything. I was mad that they show when they show Daz. I'm like, when has Daz ever been that small? When has he ever been that small? They had this dude looking like a buck 25 playing Daz. I'm like, nigga, please, Joy, get your man. I was cracking up when I saw that shit, bro. I'm like,
The thing is,
Joe.
with all this, like you said, you know, put some money out there. Like, there's such a big market for these movies. Like, put the money out there. Like, make it, because there's so many people that want these movies. So why would you not just like pull out all the stops and just go all? And I feel like they did that with Straight Outta Compton, and the success on it was amazing. You
Hell
know,
yeah.
like I don't know how packed your theater was for All Eyes on Me. There was like four people in my theater.
Oh, well, you went in daytime though, right?
I did go in the daytime, but I mean, it just opened. It was like, you know what I mean? Cars sold out at the theater that I went to in the.
Yeah, that might be the number one movie this weekend. Pac will be number two, and
But.
respectable number two. But I hear you. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, but like for me, it was, and it was just like, well, I don't know. The people that were in mine, well, granted, I saw it in Woodinville, which is not a hip hop community by any means. You know, like, but I mean, I was the only one like bobbing my head. I was like singing the songs, and everyone was just kind of like just there.
Don't say the N-word too much. What the hell?
Right?
Was it all white people?
Of course.
I would have loved to have been in their heads to know what they were thinking. No,
I remember this happening.
right. Like, goodness gracious, they're savages. God.
Why is Afeni yelling at this white reporter?
She's so angry. Angry black woman alert. Jesus Christ, motherfucker. Yeah, no, our the theater was pretty packed, and
Well, you're in Chicago too.
yeah, right, exactly.
Let's put that in. Let's keep that in perspective.
and I saw it in the hood too, so you know what I mean, like it was
You've been to my neighborhood. You know what it looks like.
right, exactly, and right. Yeah, I know, and so you can imagine like what I saw as well. Like my theater was all black and Latino folks, so. You know, we were in there kind of deep, and we were in there, you know, it was good. It was a good vibe. But yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, 'cause I was gonna ask you like what the environment was like in your theater, 'cause I know that your neighborhood's like more upscale and
Oh
everything.
man, I had reserve seating, big old comfy seat that reclined.
Nice. At least you're watching a luxury.
Of
It was
course,
like it was like a private viewing for you.
that's the only way I would do it. I wouldn't have it any other way. Air conditioned, like, you know, it was nice.
That's good. Nah, that's what's up right there and shit. Oh yeah, real quick. Who played the brother who played Biggie, Jamal Woodard. Did you get the feeling at first, like when you saw him? He kind of like he got look like, man, I don't feel like doing this shit again, man.
Right. He also looked skinnier.
Yeah, he was slimmer.
Yeah, he did not look as big as he was in Notorious.
Yeah, he lost weight. I'm like, damn, he slimmed up. You're not no more. You're not Biggie. You Iggy. You just Smalls now,
Smalls.
right?
No, yeah. He did not look into it, and they kept his lines to a minimum. I think they
Right.
knew,
Yeah. Like
you know.
they probably had to kind of like low key pull teeth to get him to come. Like, come on, man. Like, it'll only be a couple scenes. I promise you. And he's like, all right, fine, fuck
Yeah.
it. Now, I thought that the actress Danai Gurira, I know I'm fucking up her name, who played Afeni. I thought she did a fantastic job. She's just a great actress overall.
I've never seen anything else that she's been in. Or maybe I haven't, I just didn't know.
See, I've only seen I don't watch The Walking Dead.
Oh, okay, neither do I. Is she in that?
Yeah, she's in that, and the only reason why is because like I've had like a lot of times when I clean up like the house or whatever, I have the TV on in the background, and I had it on because I had something on What channel is Walking Dead come on? It comes on
AMC.
AMC. Yeah, I had someone on AMC, but then it went off, and then Walking Dead came on, some rerun or whatever, and I saw her, and the scene that she was in, I was like, oh shit, because she was kind of going off, and I was like, damn, she went on, and so
She
like I
died though?
what's that?
She died though?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Why does she die?
I don't know. That's most people die in The Walking Dead.
True. Yeah.
And most black folk get killed out first anyways.
Yeah. True. In the opening credits. Yeah. But she was killing it though. And then when I read that she was gonna be in the movie, I'm like, oh, that's the old girl from Walking Dead. Okay, that's what's up. So, but yeah, but just from what I've seen of her work, and just from this as well too, I thought she did a fantastic job. Just just doing the Feeny the right way, and
I'd love to see an Afeeni movie,
oh, bro.
especially after this, because I didn't. I don't know a lot of the, backstory and this and that. So I had no idea that she was, locked up and
Yeah.
all that stuff. I had no idea.
Oh, word,
So
yeah.
yeah. So I'd love to see one of those
She actually
movies.
had, and that was the thing, she actually had Tupac in jail.
Right.
She actually had him in jail. But, yeah, dude, that's a good ass idea, right? That's a good ass call right there, bro. And the Feeny movie, man, they can go into the Black Panthers and her
Right.
role and, how she got, man, her role for Conspiracy. Oh, bro, that'd be fucking lit. Man,
Especially with the state of the country and all that stuff, and how I think that would be a good
Oh,
one.
that would be raw. Man, let's write that script right now, bro.
Let's do it.
Let's get this money.
Let's do it. Million dollar ideas.
Let's get this Hollywood money, my nigga.
Let's
Shit.
go.
But yeah,
Until I pull a ledger out on you, and I'm like, actually, you're
but.
gonna owe me. You owe me these things.
They all add up. But,
Remember those four bottles of Henny we bought? Yeah,
yeah.
those were actually on you.
Remember those cigars? Yeah, man, that's on you, brother, for real.
Okay. I was thinking about this during the movie.
Yo.
I don't know if you thought about it. I think about it all the time when I see movies that have to do with rappers and stuff. I want to know if the recording sessions are really like that.
You know what? That I think they are.
Like they just sit around and smoke and drink, and there's just
Hoes
girls
everywhere.
everywhere. Like,
Yeah.
is that a real thing? 'Cause one of my homies, he raps out here, and he's like, "Hey, I need to invite you out to the studio just so you can, hang out." 'Cause he knows I'm into music and stuff, and I
Yeah.
think it'd be cool to go to. And I'm sitting there like, "Do these things really happen?" I can walk around with just my own bottle of Hennessy and just sit there and listen to music. This would be dope.
You know what? But yeah, no. But real talk though, I really believe that shit. See, I've only been in the recording studio a couple of times, and it was nothing like that. It was very we came in, they did the work, and then we left or whatever.
Right.
But when you think about guys who do this shit very regularly, that's always kind of like a like that's always like kind of like a an exciting selling point. To tell someone, like, hey, we gonna be in the studio. Oh, you in the studio? So, cause they thinking about the studio, they can see some shit happen. Girls can be in there thinking I'm gonna be with these guys who are making something. Actually make something pretty cool and be in that environment. There's gonna be liquor, there's gonna be weed, and of course, motherfuckers wanna bring their boys as well too, cause they know that
Right.
like they know what kind of environment that could potentially be turned into. So it is kind of consistent. Like when you watch these movies and we listen to the music when they talk about studio time and what happens in the studio and whatnot, it all does have the same common denominator that it's liquor, weed, and women.
Right. The only real insight I have to it is I follow Wale on Instagram and
Yeah.
stuff, and sometimes he's in the studio showing stuff, and
Yeah.
he's in there with a couple people, and they may be blowing some trees, but I've never seen anything super crazy. Maybe it's different, for each person, obviously,
Yeah, right.
but I'd love to sit into a studio session I look at it if you look at our music now, can you imagine being in the studio with Migos?
Oh man, that's gonna be crazy.
Can you imagine how our future...
especially future. You know, it's like nothing but holes on the wall for him.
You know what I mean? And then like, you look on the flip side and you're like, well, I wonder what it'd be like to be in there with, like, J. Cole or Kendrick. Because, you know, it's completely different.
Yeah, it's like a much more serious vibe, yeah.
Right? And then, like, but then I look back and I'm like, man, like, what would a studio session with Young Thug be like?
It's gotta be nuts.
Like, how crazy would that be?
Yeah, that's gotta be nuts, bro.
Like, would you even survive it?
It'll just be super weird in there, you know, like just like randomness happening and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd be like, what did I just witness?
Did you see that?
I'm either really impressed or like super scared right now.
Right. Like you have like no idea who's gonna come through the door next and shit, you know, like
right.
Did you see that thing I posted in the music group where Schoolboy Q posted that sign outside the studio saying like what was allowed or what wasn't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this shit was funny. I'll tag you in it. It was funny as hell, man. But yeah,
was
man.
It recent? Did you post it recently?
Like a week or two ago.
Mm.
I'll tag you in it. It's all good. But no, you're right, though. I think that, like, for, like, more of, like, the, not low level, but, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not even going to say that. I think what you said is right, though. It depends on, like, you know, what kind of artist you are. Because, like, you know, there are, because like, I saw this interview because you brought up Wale. Wale was on Everyday Struggle a few weeks back, and he mentioned that, you know, he mentioned, like, you know, we'll be smoking, you know, and just, like, you know, we'll be, I gotta be in the studio, I need to smoke, I need to be in a very creative mindset, a very creative environment to be able to come up with, like, the music that I put together. And that's the type of environment that I prefer to be in because it helps me creatively. And so yeah, I think it really comes down to the individual artists, like what they prefer to be around. Like there probably are, like you're right, like probably Migos of Future, they probably got all kind of IG hoes in there, you know, that's like just dying pieces everywhere, you know, with liquor, lean, weed, whatever. And then there are probably guys like it's probably like J. Cole or Kendrick or whomever, where it's more. No, we had to focus. I want us to focus on what we're doing, you know, because we have an overall purpose. I remember when Kanye was working on T-Lop, and he would like constantly like show pictures of like what it was like in the studio, and that studio would be busy. It was, I mean, you could tell those motherfuckers were working like all hours of the night, getting no sleep. Even like Chance the Rapper, he's like when he was working on 3, you know, he was literally, like, living at the studio. He was sleeping there every night, every day. So this way he could always be in that environment and keep on working and not be distracted. So, yes, I think it depends on, like, the artist, really. But to be, like, in the actual studio session with, like, actual MCs, though, that shit's gotta be dope as hell, man.
Yeah. I just found the post of reading it right now.
Yeah. That shit's gotta be lit, man. But overall, like I enjoyed the movie. I had fun watching it. It was fun to watch. It was fun to be able to relive a lot of stuff and sit there and be like, oh yeah, this one happened, you know, and everything. And I think, you know, to be real with you, bro, I think the people who are just being critical about it, are very disconnected, and you know they just don't understand the culture of hip hop, and B, they're just kind of following a trend. It's monkey see, monkey do. If they see someone being critical, they're going to be critical about it. If like what you said on your timeline, everyone's saying, "Oh, I'm not going to see it because I saw a lot of bad reviews." And it's like, well, what about your review? What about what you want to see? Well, what's your opinion instead of
right.
someone else's opinion? So I think it's a lot of monkey see, monkey do as well too. And you know, like no shade towards you know, there's a guy who be in our groups in the film group and the music group. His name's Ben. No shade towards Ben or anything like that. You know, but because you know he the homie, but you know he was kind of on that same shit too as well. He kept talking about like the reviews are bad. They're bad. The reviews are bad. Anybody gonna go see it? Y'all stupid for wasting your money. The reviews are bad. And I'm just like, all right, man, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, what about your opinion, though? You know, like, you gotta mind your own. And
now
he's talking about he's gonna go see it on Tuesday. And I'm just like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, you ain't gotta, like, allow these other outside influences determine your way to walk. You know what I mean?
Right. Especially when it comes to stuff like this, like music, movie, like we said earlier, music, movies, like food and all that stuff. It's like, it's, everyone sees it so differently. You know what I mean? And just you and I talking in general about everything, like we talk about the same thing, but you see it one way and I see it a different way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not right or wrong. It's just, that's how you see things. And that's how I, cause we're both wired differently. Right. And so that's why even like when I go to buy something and like, I get lost in reviews of it all and this and that. And then like, sometimes I'm just like, you know, I just don't know. But then I'm like, I won't know until I buy it.
Right. Exactly.
Cause at the same time, you got to think of it on the level of where do reviews come from for anything. If you look at like Yelp reviews, most people are going to write a Yelp review because they're pissed off.
True. Very true.
You know,
very true.
you make it the occasional, like, this place was super dope, I'm going to write a super nice review about it, right? You see those every once in a while. But, you know, more times than not, it's going to be, this place sucks, don't go here.
Right.
This is how I'm going to voice my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, and then if it's dope, I'm going to be like, hey, Maurice, I went to this restaurant, it was dope, you should check it out. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to post it all over the place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I didn't like it, I'm going to post it for the world to see.
That's true. Yeah.
Right? And so I feel like it goes the same way. Now, granted, with movies, it's different because people sit down, they watch it, it's their job to critique it and this and that. I get that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like that person that you're reading the critique about, they may not even listen to hip-hop.
Exactly.
They may not even know who Tupac is.
Right.
They just, their boss said, hey, this movie All Eyes on Me came out, you need to go see it because I'm going to pay you to go watch it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They want to be there. Right. They're there because it's a job. Yeah.
Right. And you can look at it in any sense with that. Like, someone could come out and be like, hey, La La Land is this musical, you should go see it. Someone could hate musicals and go see it and write a terrible review about it, you know? So I only take reviews with a grain of salt. Like, I'm just
– yeah.
For me, it's one of those things where it's like if I know deep down – like Avatar. We've talked about this a lot. Avatar. I've never seen it.
Right, yeah.
Right? And I haven't seen it because I know I won't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Just hearing what it is, hearing the type of movie it is and stuff like that. And this is coming from people that absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact I won't like it, so I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
I'll see you on that. Right.
Because I know what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I know that movie doesn't have it, so I'm not going to. And it's like 3 hours or something. Yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to waste my time on that.
Yeah, way too long. And
you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so again, no shade, but then it's like, you know, you know, the homie was all caught up in the reviews are bad, then he saw it differently, and now it's, you know, changed his mind.
Yeah, now he's going to check it out.
You know, and that's fine. Guess what reviews are out there for, right? You know, you see these bad ones, but you see trusted people that have good reviews, so you're like, you know, maybe there is something behind it. I get that.
Yeah.
But to just completely write something off, like, at the get-go, and it's like, oh, well, the professionals say this. You know what I mean? It's just like, I look at it at, like, when, like, Dave Meltzer, you know, rates matches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people take that for what it's worth. Like, oh, my goodness, Dave Meltzer thinks this match sucks,
I think it sucks, right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, just stuff like that. And it's like, I mean, for example, like the last Okada Omega match from Dominion, mm-hmm. Which was their second match, and it was – I watched it, and it was I watched it before Meltzer gave a rating on it.
Okay.
And then I was just like, it probably one of the best matches I've seen ever. And then a few days later, Meltzer comes out 6.25.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
You know, and then now everyone's like, oh, we need to go watch. It's like, no, it should have been, you should have watched already just because it's Okada Omega.
Right, the other way around, exactly. Like you,
You know what I mean?
yeah.
So, I mean, you look at it and like, as a hip hop fan, it's, oh, a Tupac movie's out. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. You go into it saying, I'm a fan of the music. I'm
Thank
a fan of the
you.
story. I know the story. I'm gonna do it.
Thank you, exactly.
You know, and going in and straight out of Compton, I had zero hopes of it being that good.
Right.
Because I'm like, it's a music movie. How many of those actually come out that great?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Notorious, I thought Notorious was okay. I enjoyed it. You know, it did what it entertained me for the
Right.
hour and a half or whatever it was. And then like Straight Outta Compton comes out, and I'm like, all right, cool. Like the story could be fun. You know, we all know the story, this and that. And then we saw it, and then it was like,
Freaking blew
whoa.
away. Like, holy shit, that was great. That was
Yeah, like
greatness.
they were like for real with this. You know what I mean? And so I think that's the mindset that people need to take. Not, you know, not, oh, I mean, I even look at it at like when you came up here and you wanted to go to Ezell's because everyone's talking about it, right? And for me, I've been there, and for me, it wasn't that great, but you really liked it.
Oh, so good.
You know what I mean? But the fact of the matter was, even though you're one of my best friends and I trust your opinion, you trust my opinion, but you had to know. You know what I mean? And so we went. You enjoyed it. You enjoyed it a lot. You like it way more than I do. Right? But you didn't just write it off and go, all right, well, Danny says it's not that good, so
It
probably
wasn't
not
like,
that good.
yeah, Danny said no, so I'm good.
You know what I
Right,
mean?
yeah.
So I feel like it's one of those things. Like people like just in all walks of life, like if we want to get deep with it, do it for yourself. Don't do it for other
Hell
people.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Hell
Like
yeah.
don't let people's opinions of things like stray you from doing what you want to do.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Because I was watching the last season of Workaholics last night. One of the last episodes, they were talking about like motivational speaking, and it was like, you are the author of your life. You know, and it was like, be for real though, be that author. Like, and they were doing it more as a joke, but the thing is like, don't let other people write it for you. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
the reviews are there. I get it. Like, of course, people want to know how other people's experiences have been with stuff. I
Right.
get that. 100% get that.
Yeah.
But if you go buy a product and it's not that, and it's not what you wanted it to be, go return it. We live in a world where you can do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not stuck with that choice, you know? Like, there's some things that you do that obviously you can't control the consequence, but like, you know, here's the thing. If you go see, I've paid for so many movies that like I go see and then I'm like, that movie kind of sucked.
Yeah,
You
it
know?
happens.
And I was at what, $10 tops,
Right,
right?
you won't miss it.
Not that big of a deal. And then I look at it and I'm like, all right, well, you know, who made the movie, who was in it, this and that. And if another one comes out like that, then I'm like, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know what I mean? But it's like any hip hop movie that comes out, I'm probably gonna go see it.
Right, exact. Thank you. Right.
Regardless of what anyone says about it. Any wrestling movie that comes out, I'm gonna go see it.
Damn right, yeah.
You know, because that's my thing. That's what I'm into.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, maybe we're biased because of that, right? But the thing is you're gonna go, whatever you're into, whatever you like, whether it's wrestling, sports, football, hip hop, food, shoes, clothes, if something comes out that is another form of entertainment on it, like I'm gonna at least put a thought to see. Like, you know how excited I am for Glow to come out next
Oh,
week?
hell yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Like I've
Hell
been
yeah.
waiting forever. I'm super, and it could be the worst show ever, right? But I'm super excited for
Yeah,
it.
because
I know it's not going to be bad though, because Kenji made it, so
Exactly, right.
there's no way it's going to be bad. But just stuff like that, you know? Like I get so excited. I don't read books, but the only books I read are like wrestler biographies,
Right.
autobiographies, because That stuff is so interesting to me.
Yeah, that hones in on your interests. Right, exactly.
You know? And so, I mean, I guess if you round it out, like, who cares what anyone says? Like, yeah. If it's something you're into and you want to go see it, go see it. And if it sucks, it sucks. And if it's good, then dope.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want to live life, I don't want to say in fear, but, like, in doubt. Because someone said something.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, just really be your own mind, really. I saw this guy on my Facebook timeline who straight up said, damn, all these reviews of All Eyes on Me looks bad, are all bad. Looks like I'm not going to go see it now. And I'm just like, fam, if you don't get your simple mind out of here with that bullshit, man.
Right.
And reviews, I mean, at the end of the day, reviews are all subjective. You know, they're all very subjective. And these are just, you know, people who have a platform, who have a blog, whatever it is, and they're just putting their own spin on what they just saw. But does not mean that we all share the exact same eyes. You know, like, right. I see things differently from a different angle than they do, whatever. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's all really it's all really different. So that's what I'm saying. Bro, can you on for 1 second?
Yeah.
Thanks. Hold on. All right, sorry about that. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, look at it from your own, you know, from your own standpoint, from your own take, and all. So, I don't know. People just need to wake up and do that. Overall, though, you know, I enjoyed it. It was cool.
Don't be sheep. Don't be sheep. Yeah. Be the leader.
Don't be sheep. Be a follower. Don't be a leader. Be a follower. God damn it.
It's 8:30 in the morning. Get out of here.
Nah, I know. I know what you mean. hey, real quick. What was I going to say? I haven't watched Orange is the New Black yet. How was it?
I'm almost done with it.
Word. Damn.
And a lot of going back to reviews.
Go back to reviews, right?
Speaking of reviews. A lot of people don't like it.
No shit, for real?
Okay, so without spoiling it for anyone.
Thank you.
The whole premise of this season is based off of one thing. And that's, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, gotcha.
So that, I think that's where people are kind of getting frustrated with it, because the other seasons, right, you had so many backstories and this and that, and everyone kind of had their own thing.
Yeah.
Right? This season, it starts off with just one, like, the first episode sets the premise for it, and then it just follows this whole story the whole time.
Oh, okay.
So, gotcha. I think a lot of people are getting bored.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because that's different. Because, like you said, like, before, it was, like, it was each episode was dedicated towards, like, a certain story, a certain character, a certain backstory.
Right.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. So, like I said, I think a lot of people are getting bored with it. I haven't been bored, per se.
Right.
But I'm just waiting to see it play out, because there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of moving parts to it. Mm-hmm. But like I said, again, it's just based off of one thing. So.
Okay. All right.
So keep that in mind when you're watching it.
Definitely. I'm probably going to fire it up probably a couple episodes today later on.
Yeah. I said, in that first episode, whatever happens will happen, and you'll know, and then everything will base off of that one thing.
Gotcha. So. Do you think the show's gonna last, like, any longer? Like, do you think there might be, like, maybe, like, next season might be the last season or something like that? Only reason why I say it is because, like, they can only, like, well, I don't know, they can go kind of far with it.
They can, especially with what's going on right now.
Okay.
I feel like there's a lot of things that can happen. So they kind of opened the door, I think, to a lot of other things. Granted, like I said, I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know how it ends.
Okay.
But based off of what's happening currently, like, it does open the door for like a lot of different stories, I feel
Word.
like.
Word. Okay. All right. Cool. I'll leave it at that then. Yeah, like I said, I'm fire that up later on today. Yeah, and I'm with you. Glow? Yes. I cannot fucking wait for that, bro.
I know.
That's gonna be so damn cool. That's gonna be so damn dope, bro.
I know. There's a. I haven't watched the trailer yet. I kind of want to like not watch the
Oh, you
trailer.
haven't watched the
And
trailer yet?
no, I haven't.
Oh, the trailer is on point, dude.
Yeah, I haven't watched. I'm so weird with stuff like that. I just don't want like. You know what? I'm so weird. I'm just a weird person in
It's like
general.
your whole little tradition you have whenever you go to a wrestling show.
Yeah, and I don't look at the ring until like I'm ready for it. Like I don't know. Like I just don't want to. I don't. Because I'm so hyped on it, right? And I feel like, and I know everyone says the trailer's super dope, but I feel like if I watch a trailer, what if I don't like the trailer? Then I'm like, I'm not gonna watch.
Oh
You
no,
know what I mean?
it'll get you even more hype.
We'll see. I every time I watch Netflix every day. Every time I go on there, it's like play the trailer, and I'm like,
Should I?
no, I'm not
Nah.
gonna do
It's like, nah, I'm good. I'm good.
it.
So yeah, so Glow coming out, Power comes back. I know you don't watch Power, do you? Yeah, Power comes back.
I've fallen off on a lot of the shows that I've watched.
Yeah.
Because there was like one point in time when I was watching like Quantico, Blind Spot,
Quantico.
this,
Forgot about
that.
those, yeah.
Dude, I stopped watching like Empire. I'm
Yeah.
super behind on Empire. Empire was like the last standing of the shows that I was watching.
Yeah.
So I stopped watching that. I'm just gonna wait till they all come out, I think, and just watch it all over again.
Right.
But yeah, I'm behind on Empire. I stopped watching like Gotham a long time
Oh,
ago.
dude, yeah, don't even tell me. I'm still like essentially on at the end of season one still with Gotham, so I'm like
Yeah.
whatever.
But other than that, like my Netflix shows I'm up to date on.
Yeah. It's easy. You know what? It's easier watching. You know what? It's easier watching Netflix shows because it's only like, well, first of all, the content is super good. And number two, it's only like 10, 12 episodes.
Well, the other thing for me too is though is I know I can change the setting, but on my DVR, I have it only to keep 5 episodes of a show.
Oh, okay.
So what happens is if I miss a week and then the next week comes by, it'll delete the oldest one.
True. Yeah.
Right? Just because that's just like the default setting of it.
Yeah.
And so the moment that happens, like I'm out. Like I'm like, well, I missed
Yeah. You're like,
it.
oh, well, gotta wait till it's binge worthy.
Yeah, you know, so I'm just like, all right. But the thing is like the nice thing like with Empire is I don't know that many people that watch it. So like I don't have to stay off social media and
True.
stuff like that. Like people aren't posting about it. It's not like wrestling, right? Where like if I miss something, then I'm like, ah,
Yeah.
I gotta stay away from everything.
Yeah, my even though I don't watch Empire anymore, every I it comes on Wednesdays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but every Wednesday night my timeline is filled of everyone talking about Empire. And so I kind of feel in a way like I'm like I really don't have to watch it 'cause I kind of like low key know what's happening.
Right.
There's only two shows right now that I'm like super dedicated into. And I'm watching them actually on like on demand. Like they're like kind of like in between seasons right now. One show's called The Affair, and it comes on Showtime,
Okay.
and it's with old girl from what you call it from ER, that one chick.
There's a lot of them on there.
Yeah, but that you know that one chick Mara Tierney, she's in it. That dude Dominic West, he's in it as well too. That one guy from Dawson's Creek, Joshua Jackson, he's in it. Like,
Pacey.
yeah. Like this show is so freaking good, and I'm like just so I'm so incredibly hooked on the show. They have like I think they have like 4 seasons, but it's only 3 seasons on demand. So I'm on season two right now. I've been like watching the hell out of it. It's so damn good. It's about like this these two couples and. the husband from one couple has an affair with the wife from the other couple, and like how it like just completely turns shit upside down. It's insane, dude. It's so damn good. I'm watching that, and I'm watching Billions. I think I talked about that on the show before. Billions. It's about this guy who owns a major like hedge fund company. And like the U.S. government's trying to take him down for like insider trading and everything, but he's just so damn slick and so damn smart that he keeps on like dodging every bullet that they throw at him and shit. It's so fucking raw. It comes on Showtime as well too. But yeah, those are the only two shows that I'm like super into right now that I'm like really like kind of dedicating myself towards. But summertime shows though, like we're talking about Orange is the New Black, this new Glow joint, Power's coming back, Mr. Robot's coming back in July, and I got Better Call Saul, but I'm letting that build up in my DVR. I have not watched the new season yet, but I love that show. But yeah, but those shows though, summertime shows, I like a whole lot though. So those are coming back, and the my summertime narcotic every year is coming back, motherfucking Big Brother. It's
You still are literally the only person that I know that watches that show.
Hey, you know what? And that is okay. And that is okay. That's just more viewing time for me. I'm still hooked on that show. It comes
I
out
know you are.
the 28th, I think. So in 10 days, I'm so freaking stoked for it, man. This new season, my God. How come you need to get back watching it.
I never started watching it.
We need to get you on.
I'm good, man.
No, you know what? It's the thing is with that show, it really is like a commitment. Like you have to like commit yourself to watching it because it's not only does Big Brother come on three times a week, but also every night on the Pop Channel from like 10 to 1 in the morning, they have like a 3-hour block of 3 hours 10 to 1 in the morning my time. A 3-hour block of showing the Big Brother house uncensored. So you hear them cursing, you see them fucking around. It's all live, raw, uncut footage of what they're doing at that moment and what they're talking about and shit. So you gotta watch the Big Brother After Dark. You gotta watch the regular Big Brother. You gotta keep up with the blogs and what people are talking about on Twitter and everything. It's a commitment, bro.
Yeah, that's too much. I wouldn't watch Inception because I had to think too hard about it. There's no way I'm going to commit to a show like that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a lot of commitment to a show like Big Brother. If you want a full experience, but yeah, no, I'm totally here for it though. We even got
Yeah,
a, well, I
I'm
even made
fully
a Big
aware.
Brother group on Facebook as well too, where we all talk about it.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever been into a show that much.
Nah,
No,
outside of
like,
wrestling.
yeah, besides wrestling, like, other than that, like, Weeds I thought was really, really good, like, but I didn't watch it live. I caught it later.
All on demand.
I don't remember. I think I talked about this once a long time ago, where I was in college and I didn't go home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then I ended up just like binge watching like two seasons of Weeds in like 4 days.
Oh yeah. Oh, I believe it. Was
And
the
then,
early episodes, like the early seasons
oh
of
yeah, it
Weeds?
was like the just the beginning.
Oh yeah, the first like three seasons of Weeds were fucking awesome.
So then I remember I was on like Amazon and like they had the Blu-rays on sale for like I want to say maybe like
Oh,
$10.
hell yeah.
So I ended up buying like season, and I think it was up to season maybe five at that point. So I
Yeah.
bought all of them and then I rewatched it all.
Nice.
Because I don't think I had Showtime at the time. And so I ended up just buying the DVDs as the whole seasons came, like as the new seasons came out. And then I
Yeah.
just started watching it from there.
Yeah.
But I've never been like that invested in, I get bored really fast.
Really? Wasn't there? There was. I swear, there was a show that you were like really into that I remember seeing you post.
Empire, I was in for a minute, and
Yeah.
then, like I said, I just get bored, and then it's like me in video games.
Trey, damn it. Sorry. No, yeah, I'm with you on that. On video games,
you know?
yeah.
Yeah, because like Tekken 7 just came out. I'm like, ooh! And then I almost bought it, and I was like, I'm never going to play this.
Yeah. Wait, did you end up buying it?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't, because I was on the fence.
Uh-huh.
I was out with my homie, and then we went to GameStop, and I went in, and I was like, oh, do you guys have Tekken 7 for PS4? And they're like, no, we sold out. I'm like,
damn.
Not meant to be. Yeah. I'm out.
Like, not today, Satan. Not today.
Yep, I was like, nope. You can't take my 60 today.
Yeah. That's like my kind of like my issue with video games. Well, like it's like I want, and I think you and I are on the same page with this. Like I want to get immerse myself back into video games the way how I used to be when I was younger. Because I still see like, you know, men our age who still like, you know, like use video games as an outlet for them. And so I want to be able to, like, you know, pick up the new, whatever the new joint is. Like, when, like, Watch Cards came out, Injustice 2 came out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to be able to, like, buy that game and just, like, the entire weekend is just dedicated to me and the joystick. You know what I mean? But, like you said, like, when I buy a game, I'll get it, bring it home, I'll play it for, like, 20, 25 minutes or whatever, and then I probably won't pick it up for another 3 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I literally buy games because if people come over and they're like, oh, do you have this game? I'm like, sure do.
Yeah, right. So this way you're kind of like, you know, kind of keeping up.
Yeah, but then the thing that sucks is I never play it, so then we put it in, and then it's got to update for like an hour.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, I guess we'll just watch the WWE Network.
That's true. That's funny as hell. That's true.
Yeah, because my nephew will come over and he's like, oh, good day, I want to play a game. I'm like, all right, what do you want to play? And he's like, I want to play this one. And then we'll put it in. And I'm like, well, it's got to update.
Yeah, update for the next 45
minutes. And he's like six. So he doesn't really know what that means. He's like, why is it taking so long?
Oh, yeah. He got no patience.
I'm just like, well. I was like, I got the. So then I have like, I have Marvel Legos that I bought online, so
yeah.
I don't have to. It's just already on my PS4.
Yeah.
I'm like, we can play the Lego game. He's like, that one's too hard. I'm like, just play it.
Like, just play something, damn it. Right?
I'm like, yeah, it's not going to work. I haven't played FIFA in like 8 years. It's going to update like the last 8 years of rosters.
Right. It's still on like 08 and shit. Right. But bro, I will give you this though. You put me on to that one game, Rocket League, where like it's like those cars playing soccer.
Oh.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Rocket League is so much fun.
Dude, yeah, you put me on that. Now that for a while, that was my go-to for a minute. Cuz after you told me about that game, and I looked into it, I'm like, okay, I put a demo. I'm like, oh, I'm downloading this motherfucker. And man, I was on that shit, man.
Yeah, when Rocket League first came out, oh man, there was I played so much because my homie was like, bro, we gotta get this game. So we ended up getting it. And then like me and him and Chris and Johnny,
yeah.
Like, we'd play till like 1 a.m.
Hell yeah.
You know, and we're all mic'd up and yeah. We're just like I remember, man, dude, that was a fun game.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's why when WWE had a sponsor for, was it Backlash, I think, or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Recently, and I was like, man, y'all late as hell, man. For real, Rocket League been lit, shit.
Yeah.
For real, y'all late with that one, man. But that game, yo, that game actually got a lot of play from me, though. I actually enjoyed the hell out of that game. That was fun as hell.
Yeah.
But so yeah, man. So so good times this weekend and everything, man. So you got something going on today? Like what you got going on today, bro?
Money in the Bank today.
True. Ain't you going to like a game before then?
No.
I thought you were going to like Seattle or some shit.
Oh, so me and my homie, we do what we call adventures on pay-per-view Sundays.
What's that?
So him and I go to Walmart, Target, Toys R Us to look for action figures.
Oh, you used to do that? You used to do that whole like, Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then we'll go shopping at the mall, and then we'll go to, like, Hot Topic, look at all the wrestling shirts.
Yeah.
We do, like, all wrestling stuff, and then we grab lunch, and then we go back to his place, and then we just play with action figures until the pay-per-view comes on.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, I'm 32. He's, like, 29. He's married. Like, and we still do this.
Off the top rope!
Oh, dude, we'll, like, record videos. I'm like, oh bro, let's do this one in slow-mo.
Oh, man, you got your eyes set on something to get today? Like on the
Yes. Yeah, the new NXT collection available only at Target.
Are these past NXT wrestlers or current NXT guys?
Both.
Oh, word. Okay.
Both. Oh, my goodness, dude. I'm so... So basically, I want to say there's like 10 of them. Uh-huh. There's elites and then there's basics. So elites have like all the extra frills and gimmicks to them.
Right.
And then they have the basics, which is just like the figure itself.
Yeah, what you're not getting, right.
No, I probably will.
You're going to get basic?
Maybe.
What? You basic? I'm shocked.
I'm the most basic.
Basic bitch.
Yeah, so the basics are Samoa Joe, Ty Dillinger, Kevin Owens, Cien, and Hideo Itami.
Dope. Okay.
And then the elites are Finn Balor, Austin Aries, No Way Jose, Seth Rollins, and Bayley. Now, the cool thing is the elites, all the things that it come with, so the Finn Balor comes with a ring.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then all the other ones come with, like, other accessories, basically to make an NXT ring with Bayley's wacky inflatable things popping out everywhere.
Oh, that's crazy. For real?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nuts. Okay.
So I'm hoping, because it's released now, so I'm hoping to find that.
Yeah, yeah. Did they just come out, like, on like last week?
They're starting to pop up everywhere.
Okay.
I don't like it because they usually do an East Coast rollout first.
Of course.
And then it slowly makes its way over here. Mm-hmm. But they're starting to show up now.
Dope, okay. Dope.
Yeah, it's getting crazy, like... So I'm super excited.
I saw you picked up that Nia Jack joint.
I did.
Yeah, that's a good look. You got any Alexa Bliss figures?
She has one. I haven't bought it yet.
I'm surprised you did not like had that on pre-order online. You know what I mean? Like months in advance and everything.
So the thing about that one is it's only a basic figure, and like because she's so popular right now, it's super expensive.
Yeah. Yeah,
because it's a $10 figure,
uh-huh.
In general. But because she's so popular, it's like 25. It's like the price of a Defining Moments one.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you.
You know, it's like, so I'll either wait until her popularity dies, and then I'll just buy it super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm hoping to just find it in a store somewhere. That would be I just walked into a Toys R Us and I saw the Nia Jax one, and it was on sale, so I was like, dope.
Hell yeah. Stupid Alex. I'm actually taking a page from your book today. Cause I'm not gonna see the pay per view live.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to the Metallica show tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm really stoked for this.
God, I'm so angry that everyone gets to see this before me.
Cause y'all this is gonna be in August, right?
August.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm
where's yours at? Soldier Field,
yeah.
So where are your seats at?
It's not bad. Like it's like section like two something, but okay. I'm very happy that I have seat number one because I love
your aisle.
Yeah, I love the aisle seat. I'm the perfect aisle guy because like number one, I prefer aisle seats because I have long legs. And number two, I have no problems at all if you have to do, like, the whole, like, I gotta get up to go to the bathroom or go send them the drink. It was only that one shit at Backlash where I was getting, like, very annoyed because dude was getting up for, like, every, like, 10 seconds. But in general, though, I'm like, I step out the way, I give you room, you know what I'm saying? I give you a pat on the back, whatever. You know, I'm the perfect aisle guy. So yeah, I'm super stoked about having an aisle seat.
Who are you going with?
Solo Dolo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm like really excited about that. So yeah, so what I'm doing, so I'm going to see that show tonight. I took off work tomorrow, so I can have like a you know, just for GP. But mm-hmm. I'm gonna watch the pay per view tomorrow.
Okay.
So I'm staying the fuck away from social media.
All right, so I'll text you everything.
the results. They won. Every money in the bank.
Guess everyone what? Broke all their legs. There's no SmackDown roster anymore.
The ring caught fire. It was fucking amazing.
St. Louis burnt down.
There is no more WWE. Everyone's dead. But yeah, so I'm just gonna like stay. I'm probably gonna like, or I'm gonna come home tonight and I'm just gonna watch pay per view tonight. Like,
you're gonna be super jets, dude.
Yeah,
you're gonna be so amped, seeing them.
Oh, absolutely. I hope so, man. This seriously is like a bucket list for me because I've always.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because Anthony and I were talking about it and we were like, should we go see Metallica? And then it's kind of like, and then we were like, when are we ever gonna see Metallica?
Thank you. Exactly. Right.
And we got a suite, so.
Yeah, y'all got a nice little thing going on over there. So you might as well, like, right, take advantage of that shit. And plus, the album was just so damn dope.
I just want to see all the old stuff. I care less. The new album's super hard, though.
Yeah, the new album goes
super hard. Hardwired and Self-Destruct, like, that album is nuts.
Yes. That one, yeah, that shit is hard.
Yeah, see, we don't just listen to hip-hop people. We know what we're talking about.
Exactly, right. We're not just a one-trick pony over here, y'all. You know what I'm saying? We delve into the other genres as well, too. So, you know, you can get a rock review from both of us when we both see it. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I just realized I have so much stuff going on soon.
Oh, what's up? What you got? Oh, yeah, because you got L.A. coming up soon, right?
Yeah, like in like a week and a half.
Damn, is that soon?
Yeah, dude. So I have work next week, and then Saturday the 24th is our family getaway at a lake house. So we're doing that on the 24th.
Is that is that where you go to California for that to that one house where y'all went to that one time?
No. One of my cousins here, her in-laws have a lake house. It's like an hour away from us.
Oh, okay.
So they let us use it. We got family coming in from like Vietnam for this.
Oh shit, nice.
My mom's cousins and stuff come in that they haven't seen since they were like kids.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're coming
out. Yeah, so they're coming out. So we're doing that next Saturday, okay. And then we're leaving on the 25th. The 25th, Anthony and I are going to a SmackDown house show.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And then I fly out on Thursday to go to San Diego.
Okay.
And then July 1st is New Japan.
Okay.
And then July 2nd is New Japan.
Jesus.
And then I fly home on the 3rd. 4th of July is off.
Yeah.
And then, like, then I have, like, all this stuff, like, in between there. So then, like, July 14 is NXT. July 15, I have a 5K that I'm running.
Oh, dope.
For Christmas, Kelsey got me and Anthony and a bunch of other people tickets to, like, our minor league baseball team here. They're having, like, their all-star game and all that stuff.
Oh,
so
cool.
I got that going on. They just released Defy 6, 7, 8, and 9 schedule. So it's basically between now and, I want to say, November.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So we got that all going. August 3rd is a Defy. August 4th, I'm going to Portland to see AFI. August 9th, I think, is my Metallica concert.
Okay.
September, hopefully going to see Big Sean. I'm going to see Above and Beyond in September. Like, there's so much stuff going on.
Above and Beyond's the EDM fest, right?
They're just a group that I've been trying to see forever.
Oh, okay. My bad. I remember you saying that before. I couldn't remember if that was okay. I thought
our huge EDM festival's next weekend, but I'm not going.
Is that Boomershoot?
No, Bummershoot is just a music festival in general.
What's
That's where Big Sean's going to be at.
Gotcha. What's the EDM Fest next week?
Paradiso.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I couldn't remember what it was. Isn't the Vegas EDM Fest happening right now?
EDC, yeah. So, it basically, they do it in order, pretty much. So Spring Awakening happens the first weekend of June,
yeah.
And then EDC, and then Paradiso.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
And so there's people that like will do all of it. I'm like, I don't know how you do that. Like I could barely do like a 2-day Paradiso.
Yeah. My a buddy of mine, his name's Paul. he used to live here, but he lives in LA now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just like you. He's like deep into the EDM stuff. And he flew back here for a Spring Awakening, and he's at the Vegas joint as well too. I'm just like, fam.
Well, see the thing is though with Spring Awakening with EDC, like EDC they do on a racetrack.
Yeah.
Right, and so
and they do it's in all the middle flat. Of the night too.
It's all flat. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Spring Awakening. They just do it. Spring Awakening just do it in the park.
That's at Grant Park, yeah.
Right, and so it's all flat. The thing that sucks about Paradiso is they do it at the Gorge, and the Gorge is the main stage is in the bottom of the Gorge, so you have to walk down into it.
Oh shit!
And then all of the other stages are either on the hill or at the top of the hill. So. Not only is it super hot, but then if you want to go see someone else, you got to walk up the hill.
Oh.
And it sucks.
Oh, shit. Fuck that.
Right? So it's one thing if you're like, oh, I'm only here for main stage. You can just stay at the bottom. All good. No worries.
Yeah.
But then, like, the moment you want to see someone else, you got to trek up the hill, dude.
You got to put in that
And you got your backpack on. Your backpack probably has food in it.
Yeah.
You got... You know, I'd bring a camel pack, so I have water on my back. So I've got, like, and I think the camel pack that I use has, like, a couple liters of water.
Yeah.
And so I've got, you know, there's a little extra weight that you're carrying around. Mm-hmm. And then it's hot and, like, people everywhere. So it's not like you're on a consistent walk up the hill either. Like, you're walking and then, like, you might have to stop for a bit.
Right.
Keep walking up it. Dude, it's a mess. Like, it is an absolute mess.
You gotta, like, really, you gotta, like, be ready to, like, exercise, basically, to go while you're there, if you want
to
see everything.
And you have to plan it, too. Like, I'll look at, like, all the scheduling and who's playing when and what, and then it's all mapped out. Like, all right, guys, so we're gonna do these people here, and then since we're already up here, we'll go see blah, 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 and then... We'll round out the night and we'll stay down main stage, just you know, whatever it is.
Right.
But
now, like when you, because how many times have you been to Paradiso?
Twice.
All right. So like,
I've been the last 2 years. I am not going next week.
Gotcha. So it was like the first time you went, then you realized like, okay, this is what it's like. I see. So then the second time you had like a better game plan, obviously, right?
No, the first year I had an amazing game plan.
Okay.
Just because I've heard of how terrible it is.
Okay.
And like, people dying and all that stuff. I'm like, okay, let's try to not have that happen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Right.
You know? So like, I like looked into it a lot. And like, the thing is, the first year that we went, it was so hot. Like, it was like midnight and it was still like 85, 90. Breeze outside.
Jesus, yeah.
And so like I ended up buying like one of, you know, those battery operated like spray fans.
Yeah.
Dude, I had that. I had water at all times. We had snacks on us.
Yeah.
We had like everything, right? And so like we had extra batteries with us. Everyone had food. Mm-hmm. You know, and so like we prepared really, really, really well. So I mean, it was hot, but I was cool the whole time. I had water with me.
Right.
You know, I had food if I was hungry, all that kind of stuff. We, you know, and like a lot of people who like pop Molly and stuff, they need water, they need to stay hydrated, and they need something in their mouth, because if not, you'll grind your teeth down.
Okay.
And so we bought like lollipops. And we went to like, I think we went to Walmart and bought like a huge like 100-pack lollipop thing. And we're just passing them out to people.
Wow, that's cool.
Because they have conscious crew, which is people that work for the promotion.
Yeah.
That walk around. They have all that stuff too, but in a sea of thousands of people, like, it's going to be really hard to find someone wearing an orange shirt that says conscious crew. So, like, as people walked by, like, I had unlimited water pretty much and batteries. So I had my fan going the whole time. People walking by, just spray them. They're like, thank you so much.
Wow. That's what's up.
You know, I'm like, oh, we got snacks. We got this and that. So a lot of people don't come prepared.
Yeah.
You know, and then you run into all that, you know, stupid problems and stuff. So I'm just like, you know what? Let's just take the precautions. And then last year, like, it was so windy, I wore a sweatshirt the whole time.
Really?
Yeah. So that's my other thing is the weather is so inconsistent out there. Like, if I had last year's weather every year, I would go hands down every year.
That's a good look. Yeah.
But it's so hard to gauge it because you have to cross the mountains, and then who knows what the weather's going to be like on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like last year was so windy that like they had to cancel part of the first day because they couldn't do anything.
Wow.
Yeah, like you weren't even allowed to go down in the main stage because they were afraid that the wind was going to blow stuff off the stage and like hit people.
Yeah,
it was nuts.
Yeah, I can see that because like there was an incident that happened a few years ago at some concert in Indiana, and the wind was just so ridiculous that it blew away the stage structure, and people got hurt and crushed, and so I think that I can see that happening because you know that's something that you don't want to have happen.
Right.
You know,
I had a milestone today.
Oh, what happened?
Seven years ago, I saw Drake live for the first time ever.
Straight up 7 years ago today?
7 years ago today.
What was that after? Was that after So Far Gone? Or was that before So Far?
It was after So Far Gone.
Okay, dope.
It was at Summer Jam here in Seattle.
Oh, no shit, okay.
Yeah.
Oh wow! I'm about to say Drake don't even do festivals like that anymore.
yeah, it was. And I remember he was the headliner, but they threw him in the middle.
Oh no shit, for real?
Yeah, and it was really random. And I was like, because I remember they were setting up the stage, and this guy comes out and he goes, "The next person needs no introduction," and then he left. I'm like, bro, it's gonna be Rick Ross. And then Drake walks out. I'm like, why is Drake on right now?
Already?
Yeah, I was so confused because then they had the game close and I was really pissed.
Come to ask you who closed. Like, really, motherfucker?
Yeah, I was like super angry about it. But yeah, 7 years ago I saw Drake for the first time.
That's crazy as hell, man. That's crazy as hell and shit.
And I've seen him like four or five times since then. So basically once a year.
Right.
Almost.
Oh, man. That's what's up right there. That was a good-ass album.
Yeah.
That's a really good album, man. For real.
And then a week ago, I saw Future.
A week later? Or?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Week,
you
literally last week.
Yeah, you were there last Sunday, right?
Yeah.
How was that shit?
Dude, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was super crazy. Drake was good. ASAP Ferg was really good.
Now,
Young Thug was good.
How long was Thug set?
I want to say like half hour, 45 minutes.
Dope. And you said Future was up there for like an hour, right?
Future was on for a while. He was up there just doing his thing.
You know, Future. Like when we went to the concert with Future and Drake, like I don't think people get enough Future enough credit in terms of like how good of like an entertainer he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because Like, I remember, like when I was, because I went into that concert, like, okay, Future set will be pretty standard, and Drake will obviously steal the show, but Future knew how to really, like, he, you could tell, like, he knew how to really, like, command an audience, how to be able to control the flow of the flow of his show and everything. Like, he, mm-hmm. like his shit is really entertaining.
Right.
And, like, I think people kind of, like, don't, I don't think he gets that kind of credit. At being a good live entertainer.
Yeah, no. He's great. I just love Future in general, yeah. But his live shows are, he's from the first time I ever saw him to where he is now, like, he knows what he's doing.
Hell yeah.
You know, like the first time I ever saw Future, he opened for Drake long time ago.
That's crazy. That's just funny.
He opened for Drake. He opened for Miguel, actually. Cause it was Drake, Future, and Miguel.
Was Miguel the headliner?
No, Drake was the headliner.
Okay.
And what album had just come out? What's the one where it's his face on there with the blue background?
Oh, I know you're talking about. I could see it too. It's not Pluto.
Right? No. Drake.
Oh, Nothing Was the Same?
Was that the one?
Yeah, where he's like with
the, right after Take Care, right?
Yeah, that's the one where he like hit the sky and the clouds are in the background.
Yeah.
I think it's
something. It was that album.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it was right after that album came out, and so we went to see that show. So then I saw Future for the first time, and he had like it was like a 15-minute set, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Super short.
Super 15-minute shit.
Yeah, super short. It was him and a DJ, and that's it.
And then they went right into Miguel.
And then went right into Miguel, and then into Drake, and Drake, huge production, all this stuff, and then Honest came out, and I went to the Honest tour. And it was at a really small venue. Mm-hmm. And he was super live during it. And then when I saw him again with you, that was the third time I saw him.
Yeah.
It was unreal. Like, huge production. And then when I saw him this last time, it was even crazier.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
because now this was his, because he was headlining this tour. He's headlining this shit, so finally he got his own thing.
I think this is his first like big himself, like he did a small like Dirty Sprite tour.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like a nationwide like this one is.
Yeah, that was select cities, yeah.
Yeah, so I think this one's like his biggest one to date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is his like his first his actual first tour. Of just him, like, just him being the headliner.
Yeah.
You know? Which is good shit, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was dope. Nice. I was excited. Nice. We bought third row, and we got there. We were actually second row, so I was like, nice.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, you came up, man. Did that one guy pull a gun out I told you about? Danny sends me this. He sent me this picture of ASAP Ferg because was he in the he was in the crowd with y'all
Ferg right? Was all over the crowd.
Yeah, and so he was like, "Look how close I am to Ferg." And for some reason, I was being random. I zoomed in on the picture and I see like this picture of this guy. In the background, and he just looked like he really like a fucking goon. Like he looked like he had the heat.
Put it in the cover art. Put it in the cover art.
I will. I will.
It's the gun.
Yeah, I'm like, this nigga got the gun. So yes, yeah, so I sent it back to him with that caption, but I'll put it in the cover art because that was funny as hell to me. Oh man. But anyway, but yeah, good times this week and everything. Go check if you're a podcast, go check out the new Tupac movie. I recommend it. It's fun to live it all back like it's back in 1996 again. It's cool. But yeah, man, I'm about to wrap up. I think we're gonna wrap up, bro.
So, we've gone a long time. We won't talk about wrestling, but Money in the Bank tonight's gonna be crazy, I think. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, Money Bank tonight. So we'll do a review of that maybe later on this week or so. We might do another Sunday morning. I don't know, but we'll see what happens. But
Oh,
what's up?
quickly before we end,
Yo.
the show hit 2 years the other day.
Cheers to 2 year anniversary, brother.
2 years, bro.
Yes,
Like,
sir.
crazy. Like, we already said thank you, but like, we do this because of you guys. Like, we've been around for 2 years because of you guys. Like, it's because of all the listeners. Like, that's why we wake up early on Sunday mornings to do this, or take time out of our busy days to, sit down and connect with you guys. Like, we appreciate the love, support, the listening, emails, comments, likes, retweets, all that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I second that. It's all this is always fun. Like to be able to fire this up and be able to chop it up with you about what's happening and give our take on what's going on and just talk shit. And that's the thing is that with the listeners giving us just showing us the love, you guys really do put fuel into us. Like, you really are the fuel that keeps us going and everything, and we cannot thank you all enough for consistently listening to us babble on about random topics. And it's even better, I'm serious, this is why we always stress it every week. It's even better when we hear back from you guys. Any questions, any comments, any feedback, we want to be able to engage with you guys as much as possible because we love the interaction. Like, we really do. So feel free to always chime in. But even if you if not if you just want to sit back and relax and just kind of kick it, man, that's cool too. I ain't even mad at that, So that's cool, but we just thank you all for continuously listening and downloading the shows and just really showing us support. So thank you so much, everyone. Appreciate that. And
For sure.
2 years, and we're gonna keep this going. There's no stopping us with this.
Yep. Shout outs to our day ones. Carla, Jan,
Jan,
Johnny,
Johnny, hell
Matt
yeah.
Floyd.
Matt Floyd, yeah, Matt Floyd, Adrian Codden, Melissa, yeah, all y'all, you know what I'm saying, like always listening and everything. We appreciate David Diaz,
David
Teresa,
Diaz, Teresa.
fucking Teresa, hell yeah, man. Always just showing us love and everything. And even like the new likes, the new downloads, people, the people who just got on as well too. We appreciate you guys. We appreciate
Where y'all been? Where you been?
where your ass at.
Sleeping.
And right, but at least they on though. And even shout out to the to the listeners in Africa. I'm still not over that we got listeners in Africa. That's freaking hype.
Worldwide.
Worldwide, baby.
Just waiting for these Asian people to come through.
And yeah, please, all China, Japan, Korea,
No, China got a ban on their internet, so
they got internet ban?
I'm sure they do.
I know North Korea does, but China too? Wow.
I think so.
No way. Wait, China's not, but they're not communists no more, are they?
I don't know. It's China. They kill their firstborn or something.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, they don't do that no more?
On, bro. Man, see? This motherfucker always got to ruin a good thing. God damn. Oh, man,
But China's cool. China's cool.
I ain't touching that at all.
Hey, they make all my Nikes.
Wait, I thought that was in Japan.
Nope. Well, China and Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
My distant cousin glues my Nikes together.
Boy, you about to get us in trouble. You about to go to hell. I swear he going to hell right now.
Got a first class seat right next to
Yeah,
me.
true. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I'll meet you down there. Don't trip.
This dude acts like he's some kind of angel.
I know, right? The fuck wrong with me? All right, y'all, we gotta get out of here. We'll holler at y'all next week.
Thanks.
Peace. All right, I'm gonna hang up just so this way the recording can stop and like pop up, and I'll call you back though in a second,
Okay.
okay? All right, one second.